It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. From the landscapes of New England to his classic paintings of denizens at a late-night diner, Edward Hopper stands out as one of America's most famous painters. This weekend, the Carnegie Museum of Art opens a new exhibit featuring all 17 works by Hopper in the museum's collection. Here to tell us about Edward Hopper and preview the exhibit is curator Akemi May. Akemi May, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Good to
Thanks
have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Edward Hopper is best known for his paintings of rural and urban scenes, most famously Nighthawks, which we referenced in the introduction. What stands out about his work?
Well, for me, it's light and shadow that really resonates with Edward Hopper. It's kind of the unifying element of all of his works, both the paintings and the etchings that we'll have on view in the show.
Isolation among people in his painting seems to be a continual theme. Is this reflective of Edward Hopper as a person? What can you give us in terms of a brief biographical sketch of him and the things that happened in his life that might have informed his work?
Well, a lot of people think of Edward Hopper as a bit of a loner. And when he was in Paris after art school, we do know that he didn't really meet with anyone. He was kind of kept to himself, and so we unfortunately don't know too much about his time in Paris. But he primarily lived in New York and painted scenes that he saw around him, and when he visited Cape Cod especially, and that's really what a lot of people know about Edward Hopper as an artist.
It's interesting because, you know, you talk about, you know, what he did up in Cape Cod, and you contrast that with the work that shows city life, and you know there's sort of this sort of interesting contrast between openness and the things that isolate us in his work.
Yeah, it's it's a unique experience with Hopper because he did a lot of painting people in lone situations, and you kind of have this tendency to look at his work, with that perception. But for us and for this show, what I'm trying to focus on a lot is his composition and his methodologies as an artist. The etchings themselves, you can see this really play out very early in his career, whereas much of his mature paintings, that's what they sort of turn into. But we're looking at the etchings as sort of the seeds for this kind of vision of Hopper.
And there's something about his work, and I guess it's true of all enduring artists, that I think makes his work really relatable to what's going on today. We seem to be, in many ways, because of technology, people seem to be isolated and in a way that would make these works very relatable.
Yeah, you can almost imagine a sort of Edward Hopper depicting, a person in a restaurant or a couple in a restaurant looking at their cell phones and ignoring one another. That would almost be a very Hopper-esque scene that you can imagine. He would probably, that would be something that he would love to paint.
And while Edward Hopper's work is revered today and is popular on calendars and other merchandise, how was his work received during his lifetime?
Well, early on, it wasn't well received. Hopper sold his first painting, Sailing, at the 1913 Armory Show, and that's actually in our exhibition. We own that painting. But after that, he didn't sell another painting for 10 years.
And before you continue, describe Sailing to us. Give the listeners a mental picture.
Well, it's a very simplistic painting. It's very realist. You get that vision of light, a very stark, bright white. It's just focused on a sailboat that's sailing along the Hudson. It's very simple, very classic, but really beautiful.
And so you were making the point about how, you know, his work just for whatever reason was, that he struggled, that didn't seem to be as well received, at least early on in his lifetime.
Right. He really didn't gain prominence and the reputation that we know of him today until he was in his 40s. And it was largely due to his watercolors. They were featured in a 1923 exhibition at the Brooklyn Museum of Art. And from that, the Brooklyn Museum purchased a watercolor And shortly after, he had great success with selling watercolors, and then his career as a painter really took off. And that's when he kind of abandoned etching, which had gotten him through as an artist during that sort of downturn in his career.
What does that say about the nature of art, or, you know, the nature of, you know, what is popular in a particular time, that somebody can develop a certain style, depart from that style, maybe if only for, you know, one or two works, have that be responded to positively, and then it just changes how they approach what they're doing?
Well, it didn't change too much his works, although there's this really fantastic quote that I've included in the exhibition where Hopper says that his paintings seemed to crystallize after he began etching.
Do we know what he meant by that?
That he really worked out a lot of what he struggled with in terms of composition and with light and capturing light and shadow. He sort of explored themes in his etchings and paintings at the same exact time. But to some degree, I think he did that more successfully in the etchings. But he explored these themes and these compositions early on in his career. And it was more, I think, just people started to recognize him. He was a respected etcher, certainly. And once they, you know, didn't really know that he was a watercolorist. And once they saw that, and people really started, his reputation really picked up.
We're talking about a new exhibit of Edward Hopper's work, 17 works in all that are in the collection of the Carnegie Museum of Art. And it's opening a new exhibit this weekend. We're talking with the curator, Akemi May, here on Essential Pittsburgh. And give us a preview of what visitors to the Carnegie Museum of Art collects Edward Hopper will see at this exhibition.
Well, they'll see all of the works that we own in the collection. And they're actually paired, in some instances, they're paired with artists who were really greatly influential on Hopper as an etcher. So Rembrandt, Charles Marion, and John Sloan, just to kind of provide some context. With the etchings, there's 11 etchings and 3 watercolors, which rarely ever see the light of day. So it's a unique opportunity for people to come and see these works, which normally live in storage. And there's 3 works that actually have never been on view since we purchased them in 1949. So they'll be on view for the first time.
And what inspired this? What, you know, this is going to be running until October, I believe till the end of October. Mm-hmm. And so what leads you or the museum to make the decision that we've got this stuff in storage, let's break it out now?
Well, just that we have it. It's really great.
It's there. It's let's there. Show it.
Yeah. It's a really great opportunity for us to highlight in depth one single artist. And we just have it in the collection. And, you know, we were interested in showing it.
And Akemi, what is it about Edward Hopper that has led you to be so drawn to his work?
Well, I think Hopper is a unique artist in that he is universal. He has universal appeal. You rarely ever meet people who really hate Hopper. There's something about his work that just resonates with people, either the psychological factor to it or the aesthetic factor to it. It's just people are drawn to it.
We have just a few seconds left, but I understand a number of special events will be set up around the Hopper Show. Can you tell us about some of them in 30 seconds or less?
Sure. We have a members-only coffee with a curator on August 16th, an art history class that begins on October 7th, and we have our beer tasting event, Hops and Hopper, that pairs with a film screening called Hopper Stories on October 10th.
That's just too clever. Our guest has been Akemi May, curator for the exhibit, The Carnegie Museum of Art Collects Edward Hopper, opening this weekend and running through the end of October. Akemi May, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. Until Monday, I'm Paul Guggenheimer saying have a great weekend, everybody.